Paul the Apostle tonight has a tremendous lesson for us. In the book of 1 Timothy, if you have your Bibles, in chapter 4, beginning with verse 13 through 16. But if you remember, as we were reading the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul the Apostle begins in that great chapter 4, going through the Bible, warning us concerning the apostasy that was going to be coming in the last days. He said, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from what we believe, and they will follow lying spirits and teachings that come from demons. These teachers are hypocrites and liars, and they pretend to be religious, but their consciences are dead. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods, but God created these foods to be eaten with thanksgiving by the people who know and believe the truth. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it. We may receive it gladly with a thankful heart, for we know it is made holy by the word of the Lord. If you explain this to the brothers and sisters, you will be doing your duty as a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is fed by the message of faith and true teaching you have followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and all wise tales. Spend your time in the energy and training yourself for spiritual fitness. Physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important, for it promises a reward in both this life and the next to come. This is true, and everyone should accept it. We work hard and suffer much in order that people will believe the truth. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of those who believe. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you teach, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. Notice what he's saying. Up to this point in time, Paul is talking to Timothy because at this particular time, Timothy is having a hard time. He's about 30 years old. He's in the ministry. He doesn't really have a lot of experience in the ministry as young ministers. You know, you're learning the ministry. I look at my life, you know, going back to when I was 24 years old and 28 and then 30. And all of the sermons that I preach, I wish I could bring them back and throw them away, you know. But I thought, hey, you know what? I'm a new minister and I was gone whole. God covered for me. But at the same time, it's really important that we see that Timothy is left in charge in Ephesus, where there are all these false teachers and false prophets and the people, and they're coming against this young Timothy that's just a young man, and they're probably saying, who do you think you are? You know, we can understand Paul, but you're just a young kid. But they did not understand that God had touched his life and anointed him with the Holy Spirit, and he was called by the Lord. You're going to see in a moment here that by the way he writes, the way Paul is exhorting him, that he was actually backing away. He was thinking of maybe quitting the ministry and walking away from Ephesus. And Paul says, hey, hang on. Hang on, because man, the Lord has called you there. I think that many times the ministry can be encouraging and sometimes it can be discouraging. But it's cool. Because if you're really called of the Lord, then the Lord is going to bring you through the ministry. You have to learn the ministry. You have to learn, you know, there's up and downs in the ministry. There are times you don't feel, sometimes you feel like you're not worthy of ministering. Because maybe you just got an argument with your wife. Or maybe you were on the way up here, you know, as a minister, and you got on the freeway and somebody cut you off, and your little horn starts sticking out, you know. And you say, man, I'm just going to preach, and here I am, like the devil, you know, trying to run people over. It happens to all of us. And there are times, I bet anything, that you have said, you know what, I'm going to give up this Christianity. I've had it. It seems as I came to the Lord, everything's going wrong. But that's not true. God's in charge. God's in command. God knows everything that you face. And the Bible says that God will never tempt you more than you can handle. And God has always a way of escape for you. Always a way of escape. I do not understand, I'm going to be honest with you, I do not understand how a person can commit suicide. Put a gun to their heads and just blow their heads off. I don't understand it. I mean, how far do you have to go to do that? Are you sane? You know, are you all there? And yet, sometimes I feel as I read the scriptures, because, you know, concerning suicide, it's silent in the scriptures, but the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. That's killing yourself. And it's really important that we understand that many times people are under heavy pressures that maybe we have never faced, and somehow they're not in their right mind and they do dumb things as a way of escape. It's sad. And what happens is that what I have seen concerning suicide, yes, the person is gone now, but all the guilt that is left behind for the parents, or the girlfriend, or the boyfriend, or whoever it may be. Because how many times you hear them say, it's my fault. I should have been there. But yet we understand logically and biblically that Satan is a liar. And if we're truly Christians and we're truly sons of God and we're sons of the light, then we should never really believe the lies of the enemy, especially when he contradicts the word of God. That's why you have to know God's word, you see, to know the truth. Paul is talking to Timothy this way. Timothy, do not believe the lies. I know that God has called you to minister. Let's read the rest of it. Look what he says, and we'll expound on it. Chapter 4 again, verse 13. Look what he says there. We'll pick it up there in verse 13. And I'm reading from that Living Bible so you can understand a little bit better. He says, until I get their focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging believers and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you receive through the prophecies spoken to you when the elders of the church lay hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you. That's an incredible passage, is there. There is so much there that Paul is telling Timothy and speaking to our own hearts tonight. I think that it's so important that ministers continue to grow spiritually through the word of God. The reason I'm saying that is because Paul is speaking to a pastor, to Timothy. And even though you're not a pastor, you're yet a Christian tonight here. And it's really important, because the title of the message tonight is A Growing Minister. There are problems many times that if a minister stops growing, the congregation stops growing too. You see? It's really important that a lot of times, a lot of the churches that are dying and drying up, it's because the pastor is not spending time in the word and in prayer and studying and laboring over to teach the people of God. So when the people come to the church to hear the word of God, they don't hear God's word. I cannot give to you that which I first of all have not received first from the Lord. And that goes for you too. You cannot minister to other people if you haven't been ministered to by the Lord. You have to spend time with God. This is what Paul is trying to teach Timothy. Timothy, the Lord called you. You spend time in the Word. Don't feel like the Holy Spirit, you know, is no longer there with you. God gave you the gift of prophecy. God baptized you with the Holy Spirit. And yet we know, and at that particular time, that there are churches today that ministers spend more time, you know, playing golf, taking time off on little vacations. And a lot of times they don't show up until they have to teach that night, and they've been busy doing all these things. And they say, well, you know, excuse me, tonight I haven't had time to study, so we're going to give testimony, or we're going to sing a couple songs, and we're going to do this and tell stories. That's not the way to keep the people getting fed the word of God. We come because we want to hear from God. We want to grow. And I can only take you as far as I can go in the Lord. You see? And it's the same with you as a parent. You can only take your children as much as you're growing in the Lord. If you're not in the Word, if you're not praying, if you're not seeking God, if you're not attending services, then your children are not going to grow. And instead of going forward, they're going to go backwards. And they're not going to see the spiritual life in you. And that's why I exhort you to get into the Word of God. The people can only grow as the ministers and pastors spend time in prayer and in the Word, in the study of the Word. That's why we have all the pastors that we have here at Calvary Chapel to take care of your needs so that I can give myself, like in the book of Acts, in the first century church, in chapter 6, and 1. They chose those 7 deacons to take care of the people so that the apostles could pray and study the Word of God and teach the Word of God to the people so they could grow. I don't just show up here on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, you know, because I've been at home. I'm here 24/7, you know, only when I have to go home. This is my life. I love being here. I only have one day off. That's Saturday, so I have my day off. And I'm not complaining. I love it. I wish I didn't even have Saturday off. You know what I mean? I would do ministry all. My wife needs a day off, you know, with me. But I love being in the ministry. But during the week when I'm here, I'm in my office reading, praying, studying, so I can be ready to give to you the Word of God. Otherwise, what would I have to say to you? Nothing. You see? And it's really important that pastors and teachers and leaders study God's Word and spend time in the Word of God. Calvary Chapel has been known for the teaching of God's Word, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's why we start in Genesis and go all the way through Revelation on Wednesday nights. Because we want to know the full counsel of God. We want to know what God is saying to us. And yet, there are some Calvary Chapels that are backing away from line upon line, precept upon precept, and they're getting to all these new movements in the 21st century. And they should change their names. You know, they shouldn't call themselves Calvary Chapels, because Calvary Chapel is known for the teaching upon line, and precept upon precept, the teaching of the Word of God. And they're also known for not asking for money. And yet, people's visions change. It's sad, but it happens. And yet, the result, when there is teaching, there is what? Healthy sheep, a healthy church. I've been blessed by the Lord with this church here. It's been so cool that we've never had a division. We've had some problems, but never a division because of the teaching of the Word of God. We've had false prophets, but they've never lasted. Because the people are so well taught the Word of God that they'll come to the other and say, I was just talking to this person in the sanctuary and they were telling me this. You know, and they know how to discern because they know the Scriptures. So as we teach you the Word of God, you need to go home and you need to examine the Word of God to make sure that we're telling you the truth. Test the waters. Be like the Bereans. They what? They listened to Paul and then they checked it out to make sure Paul was telling the truth. It's really important because there are a lot of churches and there are a lot of television programs that don't tell you the truth. They take your money. And all that's all they're into. Getting money from people. But how we thank God that we can come and we can study His Word. And yet Paul, talking to the elders there, you're talking to Timothy in Ephesus. Remember when he wrote the book of Ephesians? In chapter 1, 2, and 3, he tells you what, he talks about our position in Christ. He tells you, this is what you are in Christ Jesus. And now that you know who you are in Christ Jesus, in chapter 4, 5, and 6, he says, this is not what you're supposed to be like. This is how you should live. And in that fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, Paul the apostle gives a teaching on the purpose of the church. And the purpose of the church is not evangelism. The purpose of the church, according to Paul, according to the first century church, is what? It is that God, let me read it to you, in chapter 4, 11 through 16, and He, Jesus, Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers. For what? Here's the purpose. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body. You see? What's the natural process of evangelism? The sheep beget the sheep. Very healthy sheep beget other sheep. But at the same time, we do evangelism through crusades, through concerts, SR1. Why? So that we allow non-believers to come. And instead of teaching them, we preach to them. There's a difference between preaching and teaching, you see? And it's really cool how Paul says it here. He says it's for the equipping of the saints. Verse 13, till we all come into that unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man or complete man, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. And here it is, that we no longer should be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. This is what Timothy was facing. And Paul is saying, listen, Timothy, in chapter 4 of Ephesians, I said, be careful. We should never be any longer, you know, like a roller coaster, but we should be steady on course. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, whom the whole body is joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the building up of itself in love. And then you notice the difference between Ephesians and 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, there was a bunch of carnal Christians. They were not growing. They were not developing. Because they were so carnal, they were actually being what? Abusing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. At the same time saying they were spiritual, and yet Paul says, no, you're carnal. Because you're like babies, you have to be spoon-fed. You can't take meat and potatoes, because if you do, you'll choke to death. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He tells them that. And yet here Paul is saying, Timothy, you are mature. You know the word of God. You may be 30 years old, but listen, you're a right-on Christian. You need to stand by. You need to be strong because God wants to use your life. Well, watch this. This is so cool. Beginning with verse 13, the emphasis now on the word of God here. Paul says here, now, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Three things that he wants us to be aware of. Number one, he says, until I come here, this implies that Paul was going to come and meet Timothy again, according to chapter 3:14. Timothy, I'm on my way. Be patient. I'm coming. I'm not there yet. But until I come, I want you, these are my guidelines to you. Number one, give attention to reading. Literally, he says, be ready to not only read the word of God, but be ready to expound the scriptures. Just like when Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 22, walked into the synagogue. And as the Jews were there, he picked up the scroll of Isaiah, he opened it up, and he gave, the way the Jews used to do it, they would read the scriptures, and then they would expound the scriptures, and then he closed the book before he read the rest of it, and he walked away. It's really important that the reading of the scriptures are in the church. And that you spend time reading the Word of God daily, so that you can be nourished up. And then as you come to church, as we read the scriptures, what do? We expound the scriptures, expounding the word of God. This is one of the signs of an excellent minister of Jesus Christ. He has a biblical ministry. A biblical ministry, they teach the Bible. The Bible, that's all we can teach. Nothing else. The word of God. And so these three things here are connected even with the early church. Reading the scriptures. Again, notice secondly, give attention to what? To exhortation. Exhortation. What do you mean? Well, the scriptures exhort you. If you're living a life of sin, what does the scripture do? It brings conviction. It makes your heart get right. Exhorting people. You see? He says, exhort people to follow the scriptures. calling people to apply the scriptures in their lives and will change their lives, calling them to repentance. Call them to rededicate their lives. After the scriptures have been read and the scriptures have been expounded, the work of the Holy Spirit now has gone out and done the work in the life of the people, and people now can respond, just like we see on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, or Wednesday nights. Because when we come prepared to receive something from the Lord will speak to your heart. He'll show you what's wrong. He'll show you your problems. And it's so cool because the Word of God speaks directly to our hearts. And then thirdly, he says, to doctrine. Pay attention to doctrine here. And this is really important. This is really speaking that as a pastor or a minister is teaching the Word of God, making clear the unfolding of the Word of God, that is the doctrines of the Bible. What is salvation? What is a Holy Spirit? What is prophecy? What is, you know, the last days? What is hell? What is heaven? That's what we do. So you can learn. You see? So in a teaching ministry, there should be reading and explanation, and there should be exhortation, and there should be doctrine. Or the word doctrine means teaching. The teaching of what? Of the doctrines of the Bible. That's why we go from Genesis to Revelation. So we can have the full counsel of God. If you go to Bible college here, you'll take systematic theology. You'll learn all of these doctrines of the Bible. You see? And it's really neat how Timothy here is being exhorted by Paul. And St. Paul says, look at men, give attendance means, in the Greek it means this, to devote yourself to or to be absorbed in reading and expounding and exhorting and in teaching. That should be the passion of the pastor. That should be the pastor's passion for his church. So that people can grow, people can expand their borders spiritually speaking. You can bring up more ministers and more leaders and more evangelists, more missionaries. As they're learning the Word of God, God will speak to your heart. So when he talks about reading, he's talking about public reading too. Public reading. Remember some days on Sunday morning we'll get up and read a psalm? That's public reading. Reading through the scriptures. And then secondly, when he talks about exhortation, it means encouragement. It suggests applying the Word of God in the lives of the people. Now that you've heard this, apply it to your life. This is how you live. And then the doctrine, it means teaching. It means the major emphasis on the teaching of doctrine. On love, on prophecy, Holy Spirit, salvation, justification, sanctification, all the different doctrines that are there. He says we need to learn those things. Secondly, notice verse 14. It seems that Paul is exhorting Timothy because it seems like Timothy felt like the gifts of the Holy Spirit were not fully operating in his life right now. He says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. I love that. Notice what he's saying here. The use of our spiritual gifts. An excellent minister fulfills what? His ministry. Fulfills his ministry. That is, Timothy is struggling and Paul is encouraging him to hang on because of the gifts that God has given to you. Remember, when you came to Christ, you received them by faith, but then the Holy Spirit came upon you and baptized you with the Holy Spirit and power. Do not neglect. Stop neglecting, literally in the Greek, the gift. The word gift here is charisma in the Greek. Charisma. It means a gracious gift from God has been given to you. A gift that God has given to you graciously. Every one of us has the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting here is as God calls you and God anoints you, it's really important that you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 through 11 and chapter 12, 28 through 31, because there he gives you not only the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but also we have what we call the 21 gifts that are given to the church. That you find 9 gifts there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Then you'll find 5 more gifts in chapter 4 of Ephesians 11 and 12. And then you find another 5 gifts, notice, where? In the book of Corinthians, chapter 12, 28 through 31, there are a total of 21 gifts that are given to us. And guess what? God will give to you what you need, not what you want. It's what God sees in your life they'll give to you. And it's so cool. Because some people may not have the gift of evangelism, but they have the gift of teaching. Or maybe God gifts you with missionary work. Or he may be taking care of children is a gift. You see? Ushering is a gift. Working in the coffee house is a gift. There are many gifts that God gives to us. And those gifts are given to us so that we can not only use them and bring glory and honor to the Lord. Very important. But all of the gifts operate under one base. Love. Love. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If we don't have love, what happens? We are nothing. Think of how many people that say, I have the gift of tongues. And many people ask here at Calvary Chapel, you know, why don't we speak in tongues in the congregation, in public, while the service is going on? Because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that if you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and if God gives you the gift of tongues, it is for your own private use. Read 1 Corinthians 14, biblically. Paul says it. Paul discourages speaking in tongues in church. It's really important that we understand that, because what happens is that I know people that spoke in tongues and yet they were so carnal. And they didn't have any love. And Paul says you can speak in tongues, you can say you have the gift of faith, you can say you have all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, yet if you have no love, you have nothing. Nothing. There's no power. No power behind the gift if there is no love. Everything that we do is based under the love of Jesus Christ. And it's important that we understand that we do need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We do need it. God gives to us the gift in ministry so that God can use our lives. Here he's telling them, don't neglect the gift that God gave to you. He says, secondly, notice, don't forget how you received it. How did he receive it? By the laying of hands. And yet Paul's going to tell us in the next chapter not to lay hands on any man suddenly if he's a new Christian to put him in ministry. Laying of hands. That's why when we come up here, people stand up here and we ask the elders to come and the pastors, what do we say? Lay hands on the people. Why? Because it's an act of faith to receive the Holy Spirit. When we pray for the sick, we anoint them with oil according to James chapter 5. And what do? We lay hands on them. And the Bible says what? That they will recover. Really important that we follow what the Bible teaches. So here Paul is telling Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you. That was given to you, notice how, by prophecy. By prophecy. It came by prophecy. I can remember in Costa Mesa back in 1974, I was at an afterglow service when they had the tent up and they had a little room and the elders were in there praying after the services, and I went in to get prayed for and they lay hands on me, and through prophecy they began to speak that God was going to use my life and that I was going to be in the ministry and all these things. And at that time, you know, I was just a new Christian. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool, you know. And I waited. And in 1976, I was going to Costa Mesa, Calvary Chapel all the time. In 1976, I was asked to go to the First Shepherd School by Chuck Smith. I went to that school 1 week seminary, went to that. And that was a turning point of my ministry and my life. God baptized me. He just really blew me away totally. And the Lord just began to use my life. Just like Timothy. Just like Timothy. He'll do it for you. That's why it's really important that if you want the elders of the church to lay hands on you, if you're sick or you're weak or you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit or you want to be in a ministry, it's good to call for the elders and the pastors to lay hands on you. Notice why. Because usually if they're in the Spirit of God and they're praying and laying on hands, there could be what? Prophecy, which is a word from the Lord to you. God can prophesy to you how God wants to use your life. But usually, the prophecy comes through the teaching of the Word of God. As God speaks to me, He gives me promises, and then I write them down and wait on them. And when they come to pass, I can say, God's Word is true. Look what He's done. You see? Really important what he's saying here. Because it's important that we understand that churches, here the laying of hands is an affirmation of the servant of God in public. I'm affirming that we believe in this person, that he's a Christian, and that he wants to serve God. But then Paul says, lay hands on no man suddenly, especially if they're new believers. Why? Because they haven't had the time to mature yet. You know, they're not rooted and grounded yet. And yet we see that the servant of God is a true servant because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit operates through his life. And notice that it says, when the laying of hands came, it came through who? Through the eldership. Through the eldership. The elders of the church laid hands on that person. Then, check this out. Thirdly, verse 15. Devotion to my life fully to Christ. What does he say? Here's the public credibility now. He says, also do this in the ministry. Meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Notice what Paul is saying. The word meditate here carries the idea of being in them. Give yourself totally to them. To what? To the gifts that God has given to you. Your commitment to Jesus Christ. Your commitment to the people of God. Give yourself wholly to them. Notice, give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to everyone. What is he saying? Paul says, look it, if you're a real minister, if you're a real child of God, and God has really anointed you and using you, everybody is going to say, you know what? God is using that person. They're going to know. It's not going to be hidden. It's going to be out in the public. They're going to know it. He's talking about that. But you know what's interesting? That word progress here is a very interesting word. It means cutting through. It's cutting, like if there's, let's say there's a hedge on a path, and you have, in order to get to the other side, what do you have to do? You have to cut down the wall to get through. That's what the word progress here. He says every child of God has to progress. Take down the walls that are holding you from growing in the Lord so you can progress. I wonder tonight if there are some things in some of your lives that are keeping you from growing, progressing. He says, because it is an evidence, look what he says, that your progress, notice, may be evident to who? To everybody. Everybody can see that you are growing, that you're growing in the Lord. There can be no real pioneer advance in anyone's ministry or life, unless there's a real, total dedication and commitment to Jesus Christ, 100%. 100%. That's the only way it's going to happen. That's why Jesus in Matthew 6:24 said what? He said, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. It's like, remember that song? You got to serve somebody. People serve somebody. It may be the devil. It may be money. It may be power. It may be God. It may be something. But there's only one you can serve with your whole heart, Jesus. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Timothy, remember who called you. And Timothy, remember, if you're having a problem, knock down the hedge. Walk through. Your progress is there. Everybody's watching you. He was just young, a young man, but he was expanding. Fourthly, notice verse 16. The importance of taking a spiritual inventory of my life. Okay, Timothy, take inventory of your life today. Look what he says. Take heed or pay attention to what? To spiritual development. Are you developing spiritually? Are you growing? Spiritual consequences. Notice this. What do you mean? My personal holiness and my personal teaching in my life. Am I teachable? Can I be taught? Can I sit down and learn something from someone? Or reading a book? Or listening to a tape? Or CD? Or even watching a program? Am I teachable? Can I grow in the Lord spiritually? He says, take heed or pay attention to yourself, notice, and to the teaching. Again, here is doctrine again. Notice that. He's speaking about our present relationship with Christ. Notice, secondly, continue in them. Don't stop. You see? Continue. Don't go backwards. Keep going forward. You don't go backwards. You go forward. Here, the word to continue is one. Faithful dedication. I need to be faithful to my dedication to the Lord. Why? Because if I'm right on with the Lord, not only what am I going to go to heaven, but my neighbors and my brothers and sisters and friends and everybody else will see my life. And guess what? I'm going to lead them to heaven. Look what he says. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will not only save both yourself, but those who hear you. And think about this. How many people we know that do not walk with Christ, and yet they say, oh, they go to Calvary Chapel or the Presbyterian, wherever they go. And people will say, well, that guy goes to church, but you know, he talks, but he doesn't walk the talk. I mean, how many people do that? Instead of turning people to Christ, you're turning people away from Christ because they don't see progress. They don't see you growing. They don't see spiritual person. And yet, Paul is telling Timothy, people not only will see your life, people will be saved because of your continuance, your faithful dedication to the Lord. Timothy, keep walking and keep talking. Keep faithful to what God's called you. Examine your life, Timothy. Are you, number one, spiritually developing yourself? And number two, are you faithfully dedicated to the Lord so that others can dedicate their lives to the Lord because of your life? Man, that's heavy, heavy responsibility we have as Christians. That as we grow and we develop, other people will begin to notice our lives. And as they begin to see our lives, they're going to ask questions, and we're going to give them answers, and we're going to pray for them, and the Holy Spirit will save them and bring them into the kingdom. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord Jesus, to thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercies. And Lord, for this neat lesson tonight for each one of us, Lord God. Father, we do want to progress. We do want to grow. We want to be dedicated. We want to be faithful to you, Lord God. And Lord God, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would continue to move in us and to work through us in every area of our lives, Jesus. Lord, I thank you so much for Calvary Chapel. Diamond Bar, Father, I thank you so much for these beautiful people, Lord, that week after week they come to hear, Father, Lord, the Word of God, Jesus. Lord God, we ask you that you would help us to grow daily. And Father, that you would baptize all these people with your Holy Spirit, that you would use them tonight, tomorrow, the next day, throughout the week, Lord God, to bring others to you, Lord Jesus. And I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that was invited by someone or you came into your own and you're not a Christian, but the Holy Spirit tonight has made things right in your eyes and in your ears, in your heart. And if you want to receive Christ tonight and you want to go to heaven, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship that can only come through Jesus Christ as you repent of your sins, as you believe and put your trust in faith in Jesus Christ. And then he'll receive you and he'll baptize you. He'll write your name in the book of life. And by his blood, he will cleanse you and wash you from all of your sins. If you want to receive Christ tonight, whether you're young or old, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, to walk out onto the aisle, and come up here to the front, right here, and stand here, and I'm going to pray with you by the staircase here. We're going to worship. People, pray for these people right now. You get up and you come, and we're going to pray for you. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me, by your blood, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. We're going to give you a little Bible. See that guy right over there, you guys? Go right over there. Okay, cool. That's neat. Great.